I want to also welcome people who are listening online to this talk. You're very welcome. I hope you've had a good session in your groups as well online. And I want to begin by thinking about Emily Scarrett. I don't know if any of you here are into women's rugby. Any rugby fans here? Yay, at the back there. Fantastic. Well, I was listening to Emily Scarrett be interviewed. Oh, she was the first England rugby player to play at 5 World Cups, and she announced her retirement just a couple of days after the women won the World Cup in September. And she was interviewed on the Today programme, sharing some of her story. I searched high and low to try and get the recording back, but it had gone off iPlayer. But anyway, she was saying that for many years she felt like she didn't fit in as a woman. And she was playing rugby mostly with guys until about the age of 14, when actually you have to move to playing with women, of which there weren't many when she started out in the early 2000s. But actually, discovering women's rugby for her felt a bit like coming home. Suddenly, she felt like she could be herself. Because, growing up felt a pressure to look a certain way, to be a certain way, to sound a certain way, and to feel like you don't quite fit the mold. But to find women's rugby was like coming home. No need to be ashamed about who she was and who she'd been made to be. There was a freedom to be herself. And she got emotional about this on Radio 4 Today programme. Not a place where you normally expect a lot of emotion. And in fact, it was by being herself that she became the fantastic rugby player that she was. Now, we are here as women to find our own voice as speakers. And it sometimes can feel like we need to fit a certain mold. Sometimes we can easily, and I think women are particularly susceptible to comparison. It's hard enough to get going as a woman speaker, and then you get going, and then there's all the comparison. Maybe I need to sound a certain way, or include a particular kind of content, or speak with a particular personality or style, or be like X or Y person over here. Well, the people that will hear you speak this Christmas time, and hopefully beyond, hopefully this is just the beginning, they don't need a duplicate voice of somebody else. They need your voice. They need to hear your voice. Because as Oscar Wilde put it, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. I was told very early on as I set out in speaking, spent a year at Wycliffe Hall, I was told that the way that we will be most effective in ministry is not by trying to be like someone else, not by trying to be who you feel you should be or who you'd quite like to be, but actually the way you will be most effective in ministry is by being yourself, by being the person that God has made you to be, the person that God is continuing to shape you to be. You have a particular voice shaped by your particular background, your particular story, your personality, the things you are passionate about, your journey to faith in Jesus, your professional training and skills. And the blend of all of those things is utterly unique to you. And that will form the voice that you have. And so the question is, how do I find my own voice? Now, I'm not as tech savvy as Christy, but I'm going to have a go at a little bit of interaction here. What are some of the barriers that we face to finding our own voice? Now, I'm a little bit more constrained in the options, but if you scan that QR code, you will find some options on barriers that we face in finding our own voice. Not enough time to prepare, lack of confidence, am I good enough, am I qualified, uncertainty, should I be doing this, should I have been given a voice, not enough opportunities, persevering takes too much emotional energy, or lack of role models. Now, there will be other options, But that perhaps gives us something to think about. I'll just wait for a few minutes. Seeing the predominant one being lack of confidence. Am I good enough? Am I qualified? And not enough opportunities. Emotional energy, it's a real barrier, absolutely. Lack of time and uncertainty, whether we should be doing this or lower down, lack of role models lower, which is encouraging that there are growing numbers of role models. And the more that this ministry develops, there'll be more and more role models as well. Great. Thank you so much for responding to that. There are barriers that we face. And it was great to hear Christy address many of those earlier in terms of knowing whether or not our talk is good enough. I want to begin by framing some of the things I want to say in the words of Jesus. And I was reminded of the way that he called the first disciples from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Here we have this extraordinary scene where we're reminded that the God who has come to save the whole human race here is focused on two individuals, Simon and Andrew. And I want to look at these words, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people," in reverse. Firstly, "I will send you out." The way to be effective in the kingdom of God is to be yourself. "I will send you out to fish for people," not someone else, not this other person down the road, but you. I'm sending you. And I'm sending you as you. Not you, in some future form, but now I am sending you. But of course, we know that we're all still works in progress as well. And so the way to increasingly become yourself, the way to increasingly become you, is to follow Jesus. "Come follow me, and I will make you." So at the center of finding our voice is wholehearted devotion to Jesus. How do we find our voice? By proximity to the one who made us, the one who has shaped us to be who we are today, and the one who continues to shape us and transform us as well. We find our voice in close proximity to Jesus, in spending time with him, in listening to his words. The more we are changed, the more we are sanctified, the more we become who we're meant to be. It is sin that gets in the way of us being ourselves. And the more we become ourselves, the more we find our voice. So what does it mean for you today to be reminded of the call of Jesus to come follow me? What does that mean for you today? In what ways do you delight to follow Jesus? In what ways do you struggle? Which parts of life do you gladly and freely give to the Lord, and which parts do you hold on to? So an integral part of finding our voice is in closeness to Jesus and in openness to the transforming work that he wants to do in our lives. But let's think more practically now. Voice can mean different things. It can mean different things. And so I've been thinking particularly, next slide, James, if you, thank you. Voice can mean what we say, it can mean who we say it to, and it can mean how we say it. Your voice is a blend of the content and the audience and the style in which you present. So firstly, what we speak about. Let's think about that for a few minutes. Firstly, know what you want to say. In order to find your voice, know your thoughts. What is it that you want to say? What is it that God has put on your heart to say? And for some people, actually, they have a life message. Like, God's put something on their heart and that's going to consume their whole life. That is the message. That's what God's given you to say, and you will say it in so many different contexts, with so many different kinds of people. And then there's what God's given you for each individual talk. You know, you're all feeling relieved to have practiced your talks. And every talk is a kind of, what is it that I want to say? What is it that God wants me to say? And it's really important to know what you want to say. And, one of the points I'll make later on is that we learn far more from our mistakes than from our successes. And one of the really formative times for me was I learned to preach at Wycliffe Hall in 2004. I gave my first talk to people who weren't Christians, like Easter of 2005. And the first talk went really well. It was in the sort of preparation for going out on this mission week that Michael Green was leading. The first talk went really well, and I was all kind of buoyed up and happy and great. The second talk that I gave a few months later was like the worst talk that I've ever given in my life. And I basically lost track. I lost my way during this talk, and it was a fantastic talk. And it was one of those where I just wanted to crawl under a rock and quietly die, or the ground swallow me up and just forget about this, even trying to talk to people business. What I had to do was go now and sleep on the floor of an undergrad student in their student house so that we could have lovely conversations about Jesus for the next half a week. But actually, that forced me back out. Perhaps I would have retreated and never returned if I hadn't had to do that. But I needed to be clearer on what I wanted to say so that I didn't lose my way. So what is it that you want to say? Secondly, try different things. Know that there are different tools at your disposal. We find our voice knowing that we've got different tools that we can deploy and engage and become really skilled at doing that. You know, there are lots of different angles on the Christmas story. The Christmas story could be told through the lens of journey and migration, about the God who has left his home for our sake. It's a story of relationality, about God who comes alongside us and calls us into relationship. It could be done through the lens of surprises. There's a lot of surprises in the Christmas story. Or it could be through a scientific lens, you know, the extreme unlikelihood of all the miracles. There's no one way to tell the Christmas story. It's beautiful and multifaceted. And so finding our voice is knowing that we have a range of tools in your toolkit and discerning the right ones to use on each occasion. Try different things. There may even be a particular angle in the Christmas story that you don't hear mentioned very much, but that really resonate with you. And actually, maybe growing and developing these will be part of you finding your voice. You know, people are not telling it from this angle. Let me do that. I can't remember the theologian that said this, but there are so many different ways to share the gospel. The gospel is like a diamond, and you can shine light on it on so many different ways. You know, the gospel is about justice. The gospel is about victory over evil. It's about love that conquers. It's about sacrifice instead of selfish gain. It's about the defeat of curse and the release of blessing. And finding our voice is knowing the range of different ways we can shine light on the gospel. And that gives us freedom to think creatively and try different things. So try different things. And then thirdly, God may give you a particular voice into a particular field. So your voice might actually be very specific and very focused. It might be related to your profession, your professional training, your particular skills and background that qualify you in a way that other people aren't qualified, actually. There are people here for whom, you know, there are people you can reach that others can't. And so we need your voice into that very particular field. And it will also perhaps be related to your story, your faith journey. You know, whether you became a Christian as a child or as an adult or well into your professional life. And also your life experiences, the things that have happened to you both before becoming a Christian and since. These all influence the kind of voice that we might have. So, for example, for me, some key things that have, you know, influenced the kind of voice that I have had is that, well, I became a Christian as an adult, as a student at university. And so I can remember what it was like to not believe in God. And so that has really formed and forged the kind of voice that I have. I always speak, apart from when I'm speaking to a room of Christian women, always speak and write to unbelievers, write as if there are people in the room who do not know what they believe, because I can remember what it was like to not believe. Also, I have had a background in science and brain imaging, so I speak quite a lot about mind and brain, sometimes get wheeled out for the God and science talk in university missions. Also, my husband has had health struggles, which is partly what led me to write my first book on suffering. That came out of a place of suffering and trying to make sense of it. And so our life experiences, our faith journey, our profession might influence a particular voice that God is giving us. Secondly, who we speak to. Who are the people that you can most connect with? Some people will have a voice like that of the Apostle Paul. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Some people have a wide voice, a voice to a wide range of people. Other people's voice might be to a very specific audience, I guess, connected to the particular skills and life experiences that we talked about in the last section. Your voice might be related to the particular profession or life stage or journey or something that you're passionate about. What are you passionate about? Are there causes, are there charities that you are passionate about? There might be those that actually have a particular voice to children or young people or mums at the school gate. There might be those of you that have a particular voice to PhD students or teachers or people in research. There might be those of you that have a particular voice to people struggling and journeying with neurodiversity because of the influence that's had on you. There are any number of examples that we can give, but who is it that we can most connect with? Are there people that we are actually uniquely honed to connect with? That will influence the kind of voice that we have. God may give us a voice for certain audiences. And, you know, one of the reasons why it's really important that ministries like this exist is because often women are best placed to communicate and connect with other women. You know, we know the struggles, the challenges, the joys, the shared experiences of being a woman in this world. And so we need women to connect with women. I'm really fascinated, and I haven't looked into it. I don't know, Nay, I've seen you hint about this on social media, but in the Quiet Revival data, there's a lot of talk about Gen Z men, especially being drawn to church. But what about Gen Z women? Why are they not as drawn to church as Gen Z men? And that's worth looking into. And probably, for sure, we need more Gen Z women speakers to reach Gen Z women. Let's not feel the need to wait until we're older or more mature. Wisdom actually is a part of the kingdom of God, and that transcends age. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. We need your voice. And thirdly, oh, sorry, I should have put this one up earlier. How we speak. our communication style. And this differs between people. Some people are natural storytellers. Other people love argument and reason and evidence. Some use a lot of humor. Thinking about someone like Jay John at the moment, you know, really effective communication. And there are different styles. Some people speak very quickly. Some people speak more deliberately. Some people move around and are very animated. Others are may stay still. Some like detailed notes. Others have a framework and they have bullet points. And they let the precise words flow in the moment. My personal recommendation would be to use slightly more words earlier on. Slightly more notes earlier on, and then have you can always shorten and loosen them later on. But we're all different, you know. There's no one way. There's no one style. I thought it might be helpful to show you even a slide of what I'm saying to you right now and what I've got in front of me as I speak to you. So I've got enough notes so that if my menopausal mind goes blank, I still know what to say, roughly, but not so much that I have to read it out from the page to you. And I find that to be helpful to me. You will need to find what works for you. I have my PowerPoints highlighted at the side, so I know when to change it. So that's what works for me, and you'll get a sense of this is how long it takes me to speak through one side of A4 as well. So style, what is your style? What is your communication style? Don't feel embarrassed about the style that you have, even if it's different from other people. We need that style because there's all kinds of people out there in the world. And we need all kinds of people to reach a varied world. But as I close, things that are common to us all, that we communicate, our style ought to be with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, but also of courage and confidence and boldness and actually self-belief, not an arrogance of, I've got it all sorted and it's all in my own strength. I don't mean that by self-belief. I actually mean God has opened a door for me here, and he's given me something to say, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it with confidence, knowing that God has opened the door, and he has given me a voice. For the spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Some questions to ponder then as we think about the kind of voice God might be giving us. What are the key aspects of your journey to faith? What life experiences have you had that others may connect with? What are you passionate about, interested in? Who are the people you can most connect with? Who are the communicators that inspire you? And finally, pray lots. Persevere. As I said earlier, sadly, and it's so painful, we learn far more from our mistakes than our successes. Try different things. Ask for feedback. Take as many opportunities as you can and keep going, because finding your voice is a process and it takes time. As I close, why don't I pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you for each woman here, and I thank you, Lord, that you have given them a voice, and I pray that you would enable them to continue to discern and to know the voice you've given them and to speak that voice, speak through the kind of voice that you are giving. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you are faithful, that you are with us. And please help us. Please continue to change us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And please use us according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.